It's good. You sure already have? Already have a sheet?
To do like certain regulations.
To do CPR in life, so that if anybody needs it in 40 years from now, that's a shot. Should never happen. Okay, so just as I'm sitting here, I think somebody mentioned this yesterday, even before we start, just recognize sometimes we're being mekayim something without even realizing it. If you look at the last few lines of the Masechta, as Hashem, we should all be zochet to get here straight and not skip till here. So if you look on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, the last four words of Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, Kaimi Mishimsha Latula Mitula Shimsha. They used to go from the sun to the shade and the shade to the sun. What does that mean? They used to sit learning outside of Eretz Yisrael, and they don't want to say anything negative about Eretz Yisrael. So first they were a little chilly, so they went to sit in the sun. And when it got too hot, they went to sit in the shade. So they would always be comfortable and never have anything negative to say about Eretz Yisrael. As Rashi explains the Gemara. Shashamash Yigia Lamakom Shein Yoshin, when the sun came there, Vagarsin, and they were learning, Vachama Mekaderes Alehen, and the sun is beating down on them, Om Dimisham Leishi Bitzel, they went to sit in the shade. Omimatsina Om Diminatel, Vyoshim Vachama, and when it was chilly, they went to sit in the sun. Why? Kedeshel Yuchul Hisraim Al Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. So there's never any complaining, right? Because we recognize, and they recognize the uniqueness of the possibility and the fact that it is a special opportunity, right? Like the Gemara says in the beginning of Maseches Brachos, the first thing the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai ever said in Shas, the first thing the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai ever said, beginning of Maseches Brachos, right? There are three matanos that were given to Eretz Yisrael: v'kula niknas al yedei Yisurin, right? Torah, Olam Haba, and Eretz Yisrael. For all those three, and there are matanos. There are matanos. That's what we're going to talk about today a little bit. This sugya, and hopefully we'll relate to one of the more well-known sugyas here on Kuf Yud Aleph. But you have the sheets in front of you. We're going to go through a bunch of the Amar Mekomos. Again, there are many different ways that we could approach this sugya, so we're going to talk about it in certain ways. Is there a mitzvah to live in the land of Israel? Is there a mitzvah? And this is a question that, you know, sometimes people aren't as objective in terms of when they ask the question, because they kind of like know the answer that they want before they even ask the question. We'll get to that. But as any question that's asked in this way, we have to be honest. And I could tell you, just I think I mentioned this yesterday to my shiur, I could tell you that I see in my own kids, three of them that are on the battlefield right now, there's a certain level of connection. Obviously, they grew up here, but that they have a feeling of national achrayus, a feeling of connection to Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael that I don't have. Hopefully, I have something. I made Aliyah, and I like to believe that we're all, you know, believe in Eretz Yisrael. And but it's unbelievable. You speak. I'm sure you speak to roommates. Speak to your the older guys that maybe some of you or Shana Aleph got to know in Elosman, and the guys were Shana. It's just it's amazing the depth of the connection to Hashem's land, and it's something that we should all strive for. So hopefully through today's Shia, we'll try to deepen that a little bit through the words of the Rishon, the Chazal, the Rishonim, and the Achronim. Okay. As a cat. Okay. Anyway, but this is every question in halacha we have to ask an objective question. The Gemara says in Shabbos Lamed Aleph, right, we know Amar Rava says Rava source number one. B'shosh machlisan adam ladin omrim lo. After 120, we're all going to be brought to judgment, and we're going to be. It's called the six questions, but the Gemara doesn't say show alim lo because the video is going to be playing. It's not like we're going to have to answer these questions. It's omrim lo. You know, we say, you know, let's see how you did in this area. Right, atzad v'tata b'emuna. We know you're honest in business. Kavati itim laTorah, asakti v'piri v'rivia, or you're osek in building a family. Tzipi sili Yeshua. Each one of these could deserves its own shiur. But there is a drush that I heard many years ago, and then I saw it in a sefer Menachem Sion. Menachem Sion is the Rav Menachem Sion Zaks, Rabbi Yonatan Zaks's grandfather. Rabbi Yonason Sachs, Meguda, from so his grandfather, who is a son-in-law of Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer. So he has a say, Rabbi Sachs' great-grandfather is Rav Issa Zalman. Whenever he quotes the Aven Azel, he always quotes it in a very beloved way, because it's family, Rav Issa Zalman. He was my 11th grade Rebbe. So I remember he mentioned that, right, it comes up. I'll mention one thing about the first parak. I hope it's not violating any of the rules. But he says that, you know, Afkeinu generally is not used by Bezdin Bizman Hazeh. He says in their family they have a Mesorah that Rav Issa Zalman used it one time. Rav Issa Zalman, the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, used it one time. There were two Holocaust survivors that, you know, they're both in Auschwitz, and they both thought that the other one was killed. Obviously, thousands of, you know, they both thought that the other one was killed. Obviously, almost everybody was. Rav Moshe has the godless and the siyata d'shmaya of a gadol. Rav Moshe has a couple of famous tshuvas, famous if you know them, but famous about Aguna, that he matired Agunas in mass from the Holocaust. In mass, he matired Agunas. Based on if this is true and if that is true and if you knew he went to this county. So not one of the ones that were asked in the tshuva was, so to speak, messed up later on. It's unbelievable to see this man. But anyway, in this case, there was a couple that, you know, thought, and they each got remarried and, you know, set up families. And they were a young married couple at the time of the Holocaust. And 50 years later, they both were in Israel. Not the Holocaust. I shouldn't say that. Yeah, it's the Holocaust. Rav Issa Zalman. Rav Issa Zalman is after. And 20 years later, it can be 50 years later. 20 years later, they bumped into each other in Yerushalayim. This man and this woman that had their own families now. And they brought it to the Rav Issa Zalman. Like what, we have our own families now. We thought... So Rav Issa Zalman, Rabbi Sachs said that in that situation, Rav Issa Zalman, you know, used Afkeinu, meaning he told, you know, it sounds strange, right? He had the man send the woman a get and b'mavata l'chelo b'fnei shliach, which is one of the cases that the Gemara says Afkeinu is you ochre the marriage, therefore they were never married, and therefore their children are not mamzerim b'chulu. So that was... That's from the Rav Issa Zalman. Okay, that's not our topic today. But anyway, so that's from the Menachem Zion. Menachem Zion is his son-in-law. So Menachem Zion says, let's get back to our topic. Kavati itim laTorah. So did he set aside time for Torah? But there's another deeper understanding of that phrase. Did you set the itim, the times, to the Torah? Or did you set the Torah to the itim? Meaning we have to make sure that our lives fit into the Torah. And whatever part of our life is fits into the Torah, then we could continue that in our life, and it fits in. And everything that doesn't fit into the Torah, then we have to stop that and shape our life differently. Not that. Well, here's my life, and I'll take whatever parts of Torah fit into my life, and whatever parts of Torah don't fit into my life, you know, I won't focus so much on that. No. Kavate itim laTorah. The anchor in our life has to be the Torah, and the itim, the times, everything going on in our life has to be set to that. So that applies in every area of life, you know, Shabbos and Kashrus. You know, but I really like this restaurant, so it doesn't really. No, kavati itim la Torah, not kavata Torah to the itim, and that's alluded to in a medrash in the Yalkut that he quotes in source number 2. Ha'ose toraso itim hareza mefer bris. It doesn't say the exact same thing, but I remember I heard this vart. I heard it from Rabbi J.J. Schachter, who was a rabbi in New York, and then like 20 years later, I found this medrash in Menachem Zion. I was so excited. I remember it was like 11 o'clock at night, but I like called him. I said, "Remember that vart that you said over? It's like it's a medrash," and he was so excited. Anyway, but anyway, that's ha'osa taraso itim. No, the itim has to be the one that's flexible. So especially in all areas of halacha, but I think in this area of halacha, it could be that, you know, there are those that maybe aren't as objective in terms of being koveya the itim, the Torah, and not the Torah to the itim in terms of that. So that's why we have to make sure that we take an objective look in terms of what the halacha says about this. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, the Sefer Kuzari, one of the major philosophical works of the Rishonim, I think I mentioned a week or two ago in Shir, right, the four of the major, but I could say the four major works in the Rishonim in terms of Hashkafa, the Kuzari, the Chovas HaLevavos, the Mor Nevuchim, and the Sefer HaIkarim. Those are the four famous, more major works, Sefer Yikarim of Yosef Alba. They're each different. Sefer Yikarim is probably, you know, easier one to read. Mor Nevuchim is a harder one to read. And but the Sefer Kuzari is written by Ruta Levi, as we know. And the whole Sefer is a conversation. This person who's trying to find the right religion, and he asks a Muslim, you know, tell me about your religion. That's the first three pages. Then he asks a Christian, tell me about your religion. And then he asks a Chaver, a rabbi. And that's the rest of the Sefer, talking about the Jewish religion. So the Chaver was asked by the Kuzari, like the king of the Kuzars. It's a machlokas, scholars, whether it was a real story or whether it was a whole made-up story. Doesn't really make a difference. The Melech of the Kuzar says, you daven every day, hamach shkinas letzion. And you daven for all of these, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Makabis Nitcheh Amo Yisrael. So why aren't you going? The king of the Kuzars asks the Chaver, asks the rabbi. And he says, interesting, ironic, he says, all the other religions realize that that Israel is special. Look at the fourth line. And the Christians say, all the souls are gathered there. And that's where they go up to heaven. And the Muslims say, that's where Muhammad went up to heaven. They all know it's special. So you just know it's special, and you say you should go there. You bow down to it, wherever you are. You dive in towards Eretz Yisrael and Tishrei Lahem. But what you're saying is not with full meaning, because you're not doing it. And this is the only question in the entire Sefer where he says, "You got me. You got me." We don't really have a complete answer on that. We don't have a complete answer on that. Right, that's what he said, the last three lines. V'ein diburenu, hishtachavu laharkacho, hishtachavu ladam raglav, hamach shishrazu latsiyam vizu lazeh, el kitzifsaf hazarzir, it's like the chirping of a bird. Right, you hear that chirping? Chirping of a bird. She'en nach v'chosh v'ma she'nemar, bazivuzulaso, kasher amarta, melakuzar. You got us. So even 900 years ago, you know, there were those that were honest. How he came at the end of his life, there's different legends about what happened at the end of his life. But this is let's look at it from a halachic perspective, not an emotional perspective, from a halachic perspective, what the poskim say about this, and then maybe we'll see some of the gemaras. Okay, so let's see some of the sources. Everybody have a sheet, by the way. Everybody have a sheet. Okay. Point number one: the first time each of the avos and Moshe and Yehoshua, the first conversation that each of these great biblical figures had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was about Eretz Yisrael. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Yeshua. First five. The first thing that we have in Torah Shebach Sad that Hashem says to Avraham. Be'er Hashem al Avraham, Lech Lecha. Source number four. Lech Lecha me'artzecha me'latcha me'savicha. El ha'aretz asher areka. Go to the land that I will show you. Five. Yitzchak. Vayera alav Hashem. Al teired Mitzrayim. Remember, Yitzchak wants to go down to Mitzrayim because there's a famine. That's what my father did. So I want to go down. The first conversation that Hashem had with Yitzchak Avinu, Shchon ba'aretz asher amari lecha. Live in the land where I'm talking to you. Gur ba'aretz azos. Live here. This is my palace. This is my land. Ve'eyim chadar achecha. And I will bless it. Yaakov Avinu. What are the first words that Hashem says to Yaakov Avinu in Torah Shebachsav? By the ladder. Right, beginning of Vayetse, source number six. Hashem nitzav alav ayomar, and Hashem says, Ani Hashem lokei Avram Avicha, velokei Yitzchak. Ha'aretz asher ata shochev alea lechot nel zarecha. I'm giving this land to your descendants. Vayat zarecha karfa aretz, and you'll have a tremendous amount of children, ufarasa yom avakeim, but somewhat of an enigma, they'll go in all different directions. So the first conversation with Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, everyone. Turn, it doesn't stop. It's a coincidence? But that's interesting that Hashem talks about Eretz Yisrael in the first conversation, right? The first this week's parsha, first Rashi and Chumash. Why does the Torah start off with Ma'aseh Bereishis? Right, why start off with the Torah is a book of mitzvos? Right, why doesn't the Torah start off with? It's amazing that this is this week's parsha. Right, this week's parsha. Right, and on Shabbos here we lain Bereishis, right, by Mincha. We lain Bereishis by Mincha. In the morning, we lay in the Simchas Torah. So Rashi says, why? Why does it start off with Ma'aseh Bereishis? So the Umos HaOlam know that Eretz Yisrael is ours. So if anybody ever says, makes up history, and says that the Jewish people don't have any connection, we could say, look at history. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's land, and he gave it to Am Yisrael. Right? He is the creator. Right? Shem Yomer, where it's underlined. Shem Yomer Umos Ha'olam, listim atem. If anybody ever says you're listim, Shekava, and again, the post-parchment pointed out, the Goyim aren't going to listen. Oh, we'll show them the Rashi. Okay. They'll leave. It's not for them. It's for us. It's for us to recognize our holds and our chazaka and our bailus. Shem Yomer Umos Ha'olam Yisrael, listim atem. Shekavashtem artos shiva goyim. You conquered them. You are ganavim. Heim omrim lahem kol arash HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem created the whole world. We're not occupying, right? We live here. We live here. We live here from the days of Avram Avinu. Who bra'av anatana lasha yasha be'enaf. He created the world, and he gave Eretz Yisrael to who he wants to. Bersono nitzna lahem, bersono natla mehem, v'nitzna lanu. So this is just looking at the psukim, the first Rashi, the first conversation. So this isn't halachic, but this is historic and biblical evidence. So where the discussion really starts is the Ramban and the Rambam. If you have any shiur about Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the discussion will be about those two shittas. The Ramban, in a few places, the Ramban in source number 10, source number 9 and source number 10, mentions that living in the land of Israel, and maybe even visiting, there's a machlokes, 2 days in the Magen Avraham and Hilchus Shabbos, there's a machlokes, but being in the land of Israel is a mitzvah zaseh daraisa. Putting on tefillin, wearing tzitzis, any differences between those two, but keeping Shabbos, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, it's a mitzvah zaseh daraisa. We don't have so many mitzvahs zaseh daraisa anymore. The Chavetz Chaim wrote a whole book about the mitzvahs that are lamaisa bizman hazeh. Less than half. 248 mitzvahs zaseh daraisa. How many of them are lamaisa today? Possible? Not a ton. Not a ton. Knock out all the karbanos. Knock out all the Beis HaMikdash. Knock out all the melech. Knock out all Bezdin. He wrote a sefer mitzvah, Minyan HaKatzar. I don't remember how many there are there, but there aren't a ton. So whenever you get a chance to do a mitzvah zaseh daraisa, like Birchas HaTorah in the morning, it's the first one we generally do every day, even though we're half sleeping, but Birchas HaTorah is a mitzvah zaseh daraisa, according to a number of Rishonim. Obviously, tefillin, tzitzis is a different type of mitzvah. But anyway, the Ramban says it's a mitzvah zaseh daraisa to live in Eretz Yisrael, based on a pasuk in Parshas Maaseh. The pasuk says in source number 8, "Va'horashtem es haaretz v'yishavtem bo, you shall drive out the inheritance of the land because I'm giving you this land. V'yishavtem bo. Every other person can live anywhere in the world that they want. Over 99.9% of earth is open to anyone. This tiny little piece of land that you could drive the whole country in a couple of hours, right? So that's special. The Ramban says, "Al daitizu mitzvahs asehi." This is a mitzvah asehi. Yitzava osam she yeshvu ba'aretz v'yirshu osa. Shall live there. Ki hu nitna lahem v'lo yimasu b'nachlas Hashem. Right? There are a couple of elements to the mitzvah according to the Ramban. Right? Do not be disgusted b'nachlas Hashem. That's also part of the mitzvah. That's part of the mitzvah that a person could fulfill even if they're not living in Eretz Yisrael. To always speak positively. I heard from an aged Re'iyah, from a Talmud of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that whenever a Talmud came back from Israel to Rabbi Yaakov never asked him about the trip because he didn't want to hear anything negative about Eretz Yisrael. So nobody's going to come to him and tell me, you know, this was bad. You know, if somebody comes to him and tells him something, it's going to be something positive. See, he never asked his Talmidim. Somebody told me that. He's an Adriya. He never asked his Talmidim. V'lo yimasu b'nachlas Hashem. Right? There can't be anything negative. That's part of the mitzvah. It's Hashem's home. You have something wrong with it? V'lo yimasu b'nachlas Hashem. The ilu, another part of the mitzvah. V'ilu yalu al daitam alechaz v'lichbosh eretz shinar o eretz ashur v'zu atam ul t'yashev sham. If one decides that there should be a different Jewish homeland, not stam living in a different land, but if one decides there should be a different Jewish homeland, yavro mitzvah Hashem, that would be a violation. That would be a violation of the mitzvah. So that's why, right, 100 years ago, 115 years ago, remember when it was a whole thing at the beginning of the 1900s, and Herzl suggested Uganda. This Ramban is Beferish. They said, what are you, besides the emotional, most people, even the secularists said, what are you, crazy? You know, but we believe in your dream. That's true. But you're missing the point. It's not about a Jewish homeland. It's about this Jewish homeland. But this is part of the mitzvah. Umashevligor Aboseinu, and he quotes our Gemara, Ksubis Kofyud, Mitzvah Yishev Eretz Yisrael. Just read these dafim. Just read these dafim. The Yadeinu Moredes Peisha, if a woman doesn't want to go with her husband, she could be ruled as a Moredes, Bechulu. So that's Rashi. That's the Ramban. And the Ramban also says this in Sefer HaMitzvos, right? We're in the Sheikh HaSa'asin. The Ramban says that the Rambam should have counted this. Should have counted this mitzvah. The Ramban in source number 10, mitzvah revi'ish and nisavino la'reshes ha'aretz asher natan l'kal Yisrael v'Yisrael. We're commanded, La'avraham Yisrael Yaakov, commanded to inherit the land. And then, and you have to put the two Rambans together because he points out different elements in each one. V'lo nazva b'yadzu l'asinim in umos. Not to leave it amongst other nations to rule. It's another element of the mitzvah. O lishmama, or desolation. When you see a construction crane anywhere in the land of Israel, that's a kiyum d'araisa. It's not shmama. It's not desolate. Not shmama, and there should one have to recognize that. Every type of building that's going on in Eretz Yisrael, I said they make the joke, right? What's the national bird of Israel? The crane. At the but that's the wherever you go, Baruch Hashem. That's the sheet of the Ramban. So most of the discussion in this topic, if you ever heard a shiur on it, is not the Ramban. Everybody knows the Ramban. Ramban is clear, and he says it in 10 other places in his commentary on Chumash, the uniqueness. And the Ramban himself came in 1267, whatever the year was, to Israel, and he writes, and we have the writing, he came to Yerushalayim, and there wasn't a minyan. There wasn't a Sefer Torah. He had to send up north from one of the communities up north to bring a Sefer Torah down to Yerushalayim. Right under the churv over there on the bottom, it's called the Beis Knesses of Ramban, because somewhere around there is where the Ramban set up shop. But that's what he goes. He says he felt this magnetic pull, and it's a mitzvah, daraisa, that he actually fulfilled. He even changed some of his commentary on Chumash. If you look in Parshas Kisisa, if you look, have to look in the footnotes, that he came and he described something about the Machzor HaShekel. In his commentary, and then when he got to Israel, he realized like the weights were different than like what he described. He's like, now that I came, I realized that this is the troop shot, right? That he changed once he came to Eretz Yisrael. So that was the troop shot. Anyway, that's the Ramban. But the Rambam doesn't count it as one of the 613. So why doesn't he count it? So there is the Megillas Esther. The Megillas Esther has nothing to do with Purim. Megillas Esther is one of the earliest commentaries on the Rambam. He's named by when he was publishing his Sefer, his mother was Niftara, something like that. So his mother's name was Esther. So he named his Sefer Megillas Esther. We have a couple, three or four Sfarim like that. Sfarim named after the mother, right? The Chava's Yair, Rav Yair Bakrak. His mother's name was Chava. This is Chava's Yair. That's my Sefer. Let's play on words with Pasuk at the end of Matos, right? Or the Tzlach, the Yom Nefesh Chaya. But a couple of Sfarim, the Nodeb Yehuda. But he doesn't have any Sfarim named after himself. They're all his parents. His father was Yehuda. His mother was Chaya. His name was Yechezkel. Yechezkel Landau. No, to be Yehuda. Anyway, so the Rambam says, no mitzvah. No, he doesn't count it. Why not? Says the Megillas Esther, because it's not a mitzvah b'zvanazeh. That's the Megillas Esther. And the Sama Rebbe made the mitzvah Megillas Esther well known. Right? The Sama Rebbe, Vayol Moshe, who was one of the Gdoli Hadar, every Gadol Hadar argued on him. I read some of his Sfarim. He has radical. He was obviously a gadol. He is entitled to an opinion. The first page of his Sefer Vayol Moshe, he writes that the Holocaust was a punishment for Zionism. Like even the most charedig dolem, right wing dolem, how could you say that? But he writes it. He writes it in his Sfarim, like radical shitos. And again, and if you're a real satmer, you can't have anything to do with anything in the country. Basically, you can't live here. If you're really somber, because he said you can't go to the Mekom HaSakadosh, and that's known because they feel good about themselves with how many tourists come to the Kotel. If you're real somber, you can't go to the Kotel, but you can't use any services. But the problem is you can't use paved roads, and you can't use plumbing, and you can't use anything that the state gives to you. So you basically can't live here if you're a true somber. But most aren't such close talmidim, right? And they'll say, yeah, I'll be satmar in certain respects, but that's what he writes. That's what he writes in the Sfarim. Obviously, he was a tremendous gadol, but everyone, you know, even from the Meshechachma and from all the gadolim of the time, you know, did not say his words. And we'll see. It seems clear that it's not correct because the Megillas Esther says, "Mashalamana Rav, doesn't the Rabban count it? Lefisha mitzvahs Yerushas Aras v'Shivas Alo Nagarak b'Mei Moshe v'Yeshua v'David. When was there a mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael in the days of Moshe and the Beis Hamikdash when all the Jews were there? And there'll be a mitzvah when Mashiach comes. But in the interim, there's no mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. After all, he says, looking, Ksubis Kuf Yud Aleph. Ksubis Kuf Yud Aleph, Kuf Yud Aleph Amen Aleph. That's the Gemara called the Shalosh Shvuos, the three oaths. The three oaths based on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim that the Gemara darshins. What were the three oaths? Number one, Shelo Yalu Yisrael Bachoma. Number one, that Jews won't go back en masse to Eretz Yisrael. This is not on your sheet, but I'm just reading the Gemara. Kuf Yalaf Amin Aleph. Shelo Yalu Yisrael Bachoma. They don't go back en masse to Eretz Yisrael. Number two, that the Jews don't rebel against the non-Jews in Galus. And number three, that the Goyim don't subjugate us too much. Right, they don't hurt us too much. Those are known as the Shalosh Shvuos. So based on that, you see from there, you know, you're not allowed to go back on mass. It must be that we're not supposed to go back on mass, and therefore it's not a mitzvah b'zman hazeh. That's the Megillas Esther, and that is the Satmar Rebbe. A couple of points, and I'll take your question. Came out all the poskim argue, especially from the Rambam himself. The Rambam, in 10 different places in Mishnah Torah, quotes halacha l'maisa, halachic decisions, based on the fact that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah b'zman hazeh. And the Rambam doesn't say these halachas don't apply, right, in the except earlier and later. I just gave you a few of them. These Mishnayos Ksubas, about the man wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, does she get a Ksuba, does she not get a Ksuba? The Rambam quotes all of those. The Rambam quotes all of those halachas. Right, Hilchas Avadim, if an Eved wants to go, if the Adon wants to go, you have it there in Source 13. And look what he says, V'din zeh b'chol zman, afilu b'zman hazeh, she'eres b'yad ha'akum. Hilchas Shabbos, Gemara Gittin. When did we learn Gittin? I don't remember. Right, a couple years ago. The Gemara Gittin says you could violate Amir La'akum. You could tell a guy to sign the deed of property to buy a piece of Eretz Yisrael on Shabbos. It's a Durabana, Amir La'akum. We should meet you Eretz Yisrael, Lo Gazer. We should meet you Eretz Yisrael, we're not going to. And they're on quotes that. Source 14. We should meet you Eretz Yisrael, Lo Gazer, Badavar Zeh. And the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim quotes all of the Chazals at the end of Ksubis, that hopefully you saw some of them this morning. They used to kiss the ground. Oh, you don't have to kiss the grounds, you know, nowadays, because there's no real mitzvah nowadays. Right? They kiss the ground, and whoever lives there is as Kish, Yishlo Eloka. So it's pretty clear that the Rambam does hold that it is a mitzvah, Bizman Hazeh. Why doesn't he quote it? There are reasons that he doesn't quote it. We'll mention some of them now. There are reasons that he doesn't quote it, but just because something is not within one of the 613 does not mean that is not that it is not a mitzvah or is not something that's a chova. Yeah.
What's the, I guess, the mechanics of the three shvuos?
We'll get to that in a second. Okay. Yeah. Noam?
How does that just shows that I don't actually value that it doesn't really ground on belief.
He quotes all these halacha lemaisa. It doesn't say that these don't apply bizman hazeh. I'm not saying just the Ma'amari Chazal. But I'm saying, with the background that he quotes five other halachas, that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, that's the basis for it, is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Bizman Hazeh.
Does that mean
it's a mitzvah, Bizman Hazeh.
It's
a mitzvah, right? It overrides Amir La'akum. It overrides Chiyav Ksuba, or not Chiyav Ksuba. All the showed him, nobody... So the question is two questions. Number one, let me just give a mashal. Rav Asher Weiss gave this mashal, and it's very powerful. It's very powerful. The Ramban doesn't count davening as a mitzvah. Right? The Rambam has the mitzvah of tefillah. This is not on your sheet. But I've heard them say this, I've heard them say this more than five, six times. He says, the Ramban doesn't count it as a mitzvah. So according to the Ramban, you don't have to daven midaraisa. You can be a complete Jew midaraisa without ever talking to God. That's the Ramban shita. The Ramban umachadesh tefillah. Chas v'shalom. There are minyan hamitzvos reasons that the Ramban doesn't count davening as a separate mitzvah saseh, and he says, just like the Rambam, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban's tefillah is the Rambam's Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. As Rav Asher Weiss says, you can't live without either of them or both of them. And for their respective reasons, whether the word in the Torah is not formulated as a tzivui, whether it's included in something else, there are reasons. But to say that the Rambam doesn't count Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as a mitzvah, I say daraisa, like the Ramban doesn't count davening as it's not a separate one of the 613. Correct, but you can't be a Jew without it. And he made that comparison. I remember I heard that years ago, and I was like, it struck a chord. Because how do you talk about how does the Megillas Esther, how would he say, what would he say? Oh, davening also, according to the Ramban. So it's difficult. So just to say outside. So what do you do with the Shalosh Shavuos? We're going to get to what mitzvah is included in, but I didn't give you the sources because you have to end somewhere. So what do you do with the Shalosh Shavuos Gemara? I, the Megillas Esther, Shalosh Shavuos, the first one, Shalosh Yalo Bachome. So what have you heard? Some of these, some approaches.
They didn't keep them, so we don't have to keep
so
them.
Number one is, let me get the most basic before we get to that one. The most basic. Most basic problem with that claim. Yeah?
How can you make Shavuot and Davar Shalom Ba'olam?
Okay, even more than that. You're getting into details. You're getting into details. Forget details. What do you say? Yeah. It's an agadah at the end of Ksubis. That's not quoted in any halachic sefer. The Rambam, the Rif, the Rush, the Shulchan Aruch. Nobody quotes this. Nobody knows what this is talking about. They took Shavuos based on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Like, what is this talking about? You can give Agadah to all you want and learn messages, but to quote this Lahalacha as an Isser, that is the most basic Yisod. Why? Again, there are at least 30. There's a whole Sefer somebody once showed me, like 100, whatever, answers. But the most basic one is that this is not Halacha. Number two, you want to say it's Halacha? So one of the answers given as as Ev just said, and that is, it's a package. There's a halach in Shulchan Aruch. There's a halach in Shulchan Aruch. It's in Hilchas Nedarim. If two people make a shvua to each other, an agreement, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. If you don't keep your side, I don't have to keep my side. Halach in Shulchan Aruch. So this is, obviously, they violated their side, not to subjugate us more than appropriate. And it's not coincidence that the state of Israel was born right after the most egregious violation of that, of, you know, that violation. It's think about history. Think about history. Now, my father was on the Kinder transport. You know, you think about any, talking to any Jew in 1945, you know, what they think the state of Torah and Judaism, and especially in America, Orthodoxy, you know, conservative and reform with only Jew, the only things going on. And you think about the miracle 3 years later. It's just unfathomable, but it's obviously nothing's coincidental. So again, that they violated theirs, number two. Number three, a third point, and this is from the Meshech Chachma. No great open Sioni. The Meshech Chachma was a stark Dvinsk Rosh Hashiva. He's unbelievable. I love the Meshech Chachma, but he wasn't known for his I had love for Eretz Yisrael. He writes in Parshas Bechukosai in the Meshech Chachma, something is going to happen because people think that Berlin is Yerushalayim. He writes those words, very scary words. Ki Berlin, hi Yerushalayim. So he was a very strong, but he writes after 1918, his Lashon in a letter. Rav Shechter likes to quote this letter. Sar Pachad Hashuos. What happened in 1918? 1917? Balfour Declaration. Balfour Declaration, where the Lord Balfour wrote it, but the nations agree that this should be a homeland for the Jewish people. Says the Meshech Chachma, you want to say it's a shua, but now we're not going up en masse against the nations have agreed. Because there's a bunch of Arabs that are, but the nations agreed. Rav Soloveitchik once said, the only purpose that the UN was created for, the UN does a lot of things, this one purpose that the UN was created for one moment in time, Truman in 1948, to recognize the state of Israel. That's his whole purpose. Why is every other day in the state, in the UN, everything is bashing Israel? Bashed by every country. There's 300 countries there. And they all are against. Like, what's the purpose of the UN? For one miraculous moment. How it happened is like, crazy. There's a whole story that Harry Truman, one of his childhood friends, I once told a story about this in Shabbat Shuva, one of his childhood friends in Kansas, you know, was a Jew, and he was the one that helped arrange the meeting with him and President, you know, the Chief Rabbi Herzog. It's just like why Harry Truman was not known to be a lover of Israel, but he was the moment. So, but that's so Sar Pachad HaShavuos, the Meshech Chachma says, you know, there's no shvua issue. So there are many other answers also, but again, that's just a few of them. That there's no issue with the with the shvuas. So then the other question is then okay. So why does the Rambam doesn't count it? Where is it? Why doesn't he count it? So there's a question why the Ramban doesn't count tefillah. That's not our topic now. But why doesn't the Ramban count it? So most assume that it's included in some other mitzvah. I gave you three examples. Three examples. The Avnei Nezer, the Sachet Shavar, Source 16. The Avnei Nezer says, right, he was, he lived at the, as people were going back to Eretz Yisrael, the second half of the 19th century. I think the Avnei Nezer was Nifter in 1910-ish or so. So this, the Avnei Nezer says, maybe it's included, there's a mitzvah daraisa that Rambam does quote, of driving out the nations of Eretz Canaan. Hachrim tachrimim. So there's a mitzvah to drive out the nations and then say, okay, we drove them out, now let's go live somewhere else. It's obviously the first step to living there. Abdenazer, and he gives examples. You don't have to quote every single detail and every single step of the process. Right? Sometimes you'll count the first part of the process. Sometimes you count the second part of the process. Building a sukkah, you don't count as a separate mitzvah. It's sitting in the sukkah, even though building a sukkah is part of the mitzvah, according to many Rishonim. So the Abdenazer says that's the answer. It's included in Hachrim Tachrimim. Number one. Number two, a very creative shot to Eretz Chemda. Eretz Chemda is Rav Shaul Yisraeli. He was one of the leaders of the Merkas Harav. He was Nifter in the 80s. Also very holy Jew. Eretz Chemda is a whole sefer about Mitzvos Hatulias Baretz. And it's quoted, I think it's quoted by many from left to right, in terms of Mitzvot Tzulis Baretz. I think in some of the footnotes of the Art Scroll, I'm giving Shiran Yerushalmi now, Shvius, but in some of the Kelayim and Shvius, he talks about the Eretz Chemda is one of the important Sparim related. So he says, you know what Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is included in? Birchas HaMazon. Birchas HaMazon. The Gemara says in Brachas, there are four things we have to mention in benching, nothing to do with food. If you think about benching, the first bracha is a little bit to do with food. But the rest of benching has nothing to do with food, because we use the moment of benching as an opportunity to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the yesodos that he gives us. There are four things. If we don't mention these four things, then we're not yotzei benching daraisa. What are those four things? Bris milah. Torah. What? I didn't hear. Malchus Beis David. Malchus Beis David and Binyan Yerushalayim. Right? So, in no delicha, Eretz Chemda, Torah Chava, Eretz Yisrael. First thing you have to mention, Eretz Chemda, and then Abrischa Shechasanta B'Sareinu, V'Altaras Lashlim Adatanu, and then later on Uvenei Yerushalayim, all of them. So you're not yotzi benching without thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Eretz Chemda Torah Chava. So you're supposed to thank Hashem for Eretz Yisrael, but say thanks but no thanks, like a child who gets a matana. This is great, but I'm not. No, it's okay. You can take it. I'm not really want it. What does the parent, feel about that? So the Eretz Chemda says that if part of the Chi of Daraisa of benching is to thank Hashem for Eretz Yisrael, obviously he wants us there. Nimsa shenischayavnu b'tur mitzvah min haTorah. Source 17. L'hakir tov al Hashem yisparach al nachal zaretz. To be makir tov to Hashem for nachal zaretz. U'mechalein atashmei alav shasur lios kfui tova. You can't be ingracious. U'lazal zaman as Hashem. U'pashut. The first t'nai is I'm much more comfortable here. You know, I like it much here. Obviously, we'll talk about that. We're more comfortable where we're used to. That's true. You know, sometimes when I have to call, you know, some type of office in this country, I still put my kids on the phone. I say, they talk too fast for me. I've been here 15 years, but sometimes the Hebrew slang is just beyond me. I give my drushes in Hebrew, but that goes slowly, and it's Ivrit Kal, as it's called. But we have to recognize, we have to. If somebody who says, the last line, if somebody chooses, when it's in their power to move to the land of Israel, and if they choose to live elsewhere, they're showing that Hashem thanks, but not really so interested. That's the Eretz Chemda. Third possibility, third suggestion is by Rav Shechter. I don't think this is, in all Rav Shechter's farm, you have to know what's Rav Shechter and what's Rav Soloveitchik. Sometimes it's not always clear where the cutoff is. But I don't think this is Rav Soloveitchik. I think this is Rav Shechter. In Dikvei Atzon, in Source 18, where he says, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is included in the mitzvah of Ha'amadas Melech. There's a mitzvah to appoint a king. That's everybody counts. Rav Shechter assumes that doesn't just mean a king, that means a Jewish government. There's a mitzvah to establish a Jewish government. And that even has halachic connotations. He likes to say, 1948, there are certain halachas change in terms of kriya on Makomos HaKadoshim. 1967, certain halachas change when there was more under Jewish rule. But Rav Schechter says, the Rambam doesn't count it because it's part of the mitzvah of appointing a Jewish government. The Rambam quotes it. So there are different suggestions about what mitzvah does the Rambam include it in. So basically, according to 99.9% of the Mefarshim, all Rishonim agree that there's a mitzvah that arises to live in Eretz Yisrael. So then the question is, the next step, right? We spoke about the conversations with the biblical figures. We spoke about the Rishonim. So the question is, so what has been the explanation, so to speak, of Achenu B'nai Yisrael that, let's say, that didn't, right? There were great gedolim throughout the centuries that didn't move. Ad Hayom Hazeh, right? So again, we're not judging anyone. We're just trying to analyze the halacha for ourselves and try to, learn the sugya. So there are various suggestions that are given in terms of defining the mitzvah. You have a few in front of you. Number one is, it was said by the Rav and Rav Moshe. The Rav and Rav, they didn't say this to explain why people live there, but they explain how it's not a bittul chi of mitzvah saseh. They both say, Rav Moshe in source 19, and the Rav says this also, I think it's quoted in Mipini Arav, I forgot which one. Of course it's a mitzvah daraisa, but it's what we call a mitzvah kiyumis, not a mitzvah chiyuvis. If you do it, you get a mitzvah saseh daraisa. It's like tzitzis. If you're wearing a four-corner garment, then you put yourself into the situation of doing the mitzvah. That's what Moshe says in 19. Im yesh mitzvah achshav l'dur b'eretz Yisrael karamban b'chulu. Then he mitzvah rova poskim sarvidu mitzvah. Avol pasha sheiz a mitzvah bizman hazeh mitzvah chiyuvis shala guf dim kein, because then it will be also to live in chutz la'aretz. Over alase kamo, it's like wearing a bag of a dollar confos below tzitzis. It's a mitzvah kiyumis. That's what the Rav Moshe says, and that's what Rav Soloveitchik also is quoted as saying. Yeah.
Is it so with tzitzis? Rebbe compare a Rebbe and
Moshe. Not don't put them in the same sense. Rav Moshe. Okay.
Well, whatever. Yeah. Okay. It compared tzitzis to yeshiva itself. Mitzvah kiyumis.
Yeah.
But it's still possible to be over the mitzvah of tzitzis by wearing a
four-corner garment. So I don't think it's comparable. Moshe is not saying that it's not comparable in that way.
Is there any way to be over?
I don't know. I'm not sure. But let me say this. I remember there was a guy in Woodmere that whenever we saw by the sugya, he said, "Isn't it interesting that everybody wears tzitzis? It's only a mitzvah kiyumis." What are you wearing tzitzis for? But that's part of the definition of being a Jew. You put yourself in the Jew. We live in a generation that we try to find every chumrah in the book. We try to be mekayim every das yachid that we could find in Hilchos Shiluach HaKan. Right? Every single little. We live in a generation. Well, you go to the Sfarim store, you could get any safer kilchasa that you want. Mayim Achronim kilchasa. You could get any. Because there might be a kiyum if I do this. And all of a sudden, Yishev Eretz Yisrael is staring at us in the face. And 99% of Mefarsh, maybe the Megillas Esther and the Rambam. And it's only Mitzvah Kiyumis. This Mitzvah's got bad mazel in some areas. Baruch Hashem is getting better and better mazel. But it's for whatever reason. I mean, the ultimate reason is because people are comfortable. But Mitzvah Kiyumis, is that really an explanation? It is an explanation that they're not violating every second, but that's one point to make. Number one. Number two is the issue of that Tosfos quotes in the name of Reb Chaim Cohen. I'm sorry, I take it back. In the same Tosfos as Reb Chaim Cohen. Subistaf Kufyur Mabez. If you saw this Tosfos, the Tosfos says on that Mishnah. On that Mishnah, Kufyur Mabez. That you could, husband could force the wife could force the husband. It's dangerous to go there. Dangerous to drive there. So the question is, right, so does that apply throughout the past 2,000 years? The Rabban came. What is Tosfos? Tosfos Tosfos is talking about the Crusades. If Crusaders massacring Jews on the roads. Remember those of my Shia, we did a Tosfos in Kiddushin. Came up with Daf Yomi a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. We did a Tosfos in Kiddushin, beginning of the second parak. What did Tosfos talk about? Kiddushin Ketana. Kiddushin Ketana. The Gemara says you're not allowed to do Kiddushin Ketana. Tosfos there. Look at the Tosfos, the first daf of the second parak of Kiddushin. It's an amazing historical Tosfos. Tosfos says, nowadays we do Kiddushin Ketana. What do you mean? The Gemara says it's also do Kiddushin Ketana. Tosfos says, if a man has enough money to give a dowry to his daughter, and he has a man who's willing to marry her, and therefore take care of her, we do it. Because who knows what tomorrow is going to be? Who knows what situation tomorrow? We don't know what's going to be tomorrow. Tosfos is not talking about when there's nefesh benefesh welcoming you at the airport. Right? There's, and Rahman al-Islam, there's anti-Semitism everywhere in the world. Not going in the right direction. So obviously we understand what Tosfos says, Ika Sachanas Drachim, but the poskim generally don't quote this nowadays. The poskim that are honest, the poskim that recognize that, you know, it's not just the Wild West. There's a government, and we need Hashem's protection everywhere. But that's another idea that's mentioned. Then we have Reb Chaim. So those who don't know any, oh, Reb Chaim. Tosfos, different Reb Chaim. Yeah. That's a good question. That's a separate, is there more Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, or is that one not allowed? That's a good kasha, because that gets into like questions of security, questions of you need people in border places in order to protect the places that are closer in. Because if those aren't the borders, so then the borders will be closer in. So that's a delicate topic. So anybody wants to make Aliyah, move to anywhere in Israel, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with anywhere in Israel. You want to move up to the quote-unquote safest spot that one thinks, you get the same mitzvah. Not as much Mesiris Nefesh, but you get the same mitzvah. Somebody wants to build a gorgeous house somewhere and bring the house from the Chutz La'aretz here and build. Okay, that's fine. You still get the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Right, even if you have, you know, all the amenities. So that's number two. But Reb Chaim, there is, before we do Reb Chaim Kohen, I forgot to mention, this is a very important tafla. Tafla was the Rebbe Chassam Sofer. Right, tafla on Ksubis. He wrote, he's known for three svarim. Tafla on Ksubis, the Makne on Kiddushin, and the Panim Yafas on Chumash. Whereas the Rebbe Chassam Sofer, one of the two Rebbeim Chassam Sofer, the one that we have is svarim. The other Rebbe, we don't have any svarim from him, Rav Nassan Adler. Right, those are the two. The Hafla is the Rebbe Yeshaya Horowitz, I think. Like the same, not about Yeshaya, that's the Shla. It's another Horowitz. But what? Pinchas Horowitz, I think. Right. Anyway, so the Hafla says on that Tosfos, if there's a sakana, so therefore you can't go. Says the Hafla, you only have the taina of Ones. If the Ones wasn't there, then you would do it. If you wouldn't go anyway without the Ones, then you can't tie in an Ones. That's a crucial hafla. And that's quoted halacha lemaisa. The Shmir Shabbos Kol Chaza quotes this. Not our topic now, but it's fascinating. Let's say, my wife had this shayla, right? If you're a frum doctor, and you could switch calls. My wife had a Shomer Shabbos residency, so she didn't have to work on Shabbos. But if you're a frum doctor and you're on call on Shabbos, is it better to call the non-frum doctor and say, you know what, could you work on Shabbos? So at least then, instead of going to the golf course, they'll be in the hospital and they'll be saving lives and everything they're doing will be pikuach nefesh, it'll be mutter. Right? So it'll be better for them to do it. At least they're being mechal Shabbos in the hospital and I should switch with them. The Shmir Shabbos, Paskins, for Shlomo Zalman, no. I think Shlomo Zalman, no. I think Rav Moshe maybe says yes, switch, but Shlomo Zalman, been a long time. I think don't switch based on this Hafla's idea. You only get credit for, it's Pikuach Nefesh, and therefore it's Mutter. If it wasn't Pikuach Nefesh, you wouldn't be being Mechal Shabbos. But if you're being Mechal Shabbos anyway, then you can't get the credit. So, again, Lamaisa, they're saving lives, so they're probably, whatever the scorecard says in Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that worked out. But no, Rav Shlomo Zalman says the frum person should do it because he's doing it l'shem mitzvah. So the Hafla says you only get the credit of, oh, You know, I would go had the Onis not been there. But if the Onis,
if you're in a shul,
you gotta be honest.
If you're in a shul and there's like few Shomer Shabbos, few non-Shomer Shabbos people, and on Shabbos something bad happens, is there a specific preference who makes a call to the hospital?
Neither. I'm saying there's no preference. No, you shouldn't say, oh, you're not from, so you make the call. Chas v'shalom. It's like, I think it's just generally terrible if, you know, like even in one family, you have one family and somebody uses the Erev, somebody doesn't use the Erev. You know, you tell your kids, you can use the Erev. What kind of chinuch is that? That's, you know, that's, I'm being machram. You know, the halacha is the same for all Jews. And if something's mutter, then it's mutter, and you should do it l'shem shamayim. Okay, so that's number two. Tosfos also quotes a Reb Chaim, we never got to that yet, who says, it's very hard to be nizir in all the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael. So maybe that's why people don't go. Eino mitzvah ladur, ki ish kama mitzvah satulias baretz, v'kama onshin. Achumis, maisuris, how? It's so hard. The Maharit says that line must have been written by a Talmud Toeh. It's also hard to keep Shabbos. Right, it's also hard to be what does that mean? It's mitzvah satulias baretz. So don't go. Moshe Rabbeinu in Sota. Remember the Gemara? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu want to go into Eretz? He want to do all the mitzvahs. Oh, Moshe knew the Torah. We don't. Come on, so. That's a hard. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes from the Maharit that that must be a mistake. That same Avnei Nezer, just get a couple of more before we get to the last section. The Avnei Nezer in that same Tshuva in Tapnu and Dalet, he says, again, an interesting suggestion. And in his time, it was more Lamaisa. Nowadays, it's generally not Lamaisa. Avnei Nezer says, part of the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael, and again, I'm reading it everything outside, but it's all here. Part of the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael is to be part of the land and part of the economic functioning of the land. If all of your parnasa comes from chutz la'aretz, says the Avnei Nezer, I'm not sure if that's a fulfillment of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. So if somebody's parnasa would fully come from chutz la'aretz, so then maybe there's no mitzvah, suggests the Avnei Nezer, which is a chiddush. But the poskim, the later poskim, in the last 100 years, point out that Avnei Nezer doesn't apply nowadays. What, somebody now who moved his family and he works in America and he comes here doesn't get the mitzvah? No. The Avnei Nezer is talking about where you don't buy any goods. You don't take part. You go to a store and you pay, your kids go to school and you pay tuition. And if you're part of the lands, so then you're part. It's not what the Avnei Nezer was talking about.
If somebody pays for somebody who's living here.
Does he get a chalek? Yeah, he's got a chalek. There's a chalek. And finally, just the last point, there is a Maharam Shik. It's interesting. There was an RJJ, you know the RJJ journals, Journal of Contemporary Society. There was one that was written about, I don't know, probably 30, 40 years ago by, Rav Schechter generally doesn't write his own, but like Talmidim. So I remember Rabbi David Palmer, who was a Rebbe, I don't know where he's a Rebbe now. So he wrote up Rav Schechter's Yishev Eretz Yisrael Torah, and he writes there that Rav Schechter says, based on this Maharam Shik, but he, I'm not sure if he quotes the Maharam Shik, but he says that Rav Avram Shapiro, who was the Rosh Hashiva of Merkaz Arav, says that if a Jewish leader is doing a tremendous amount in Chutz La'aretz, and that wouldn't be able to be paralleled, his influence wouldn't be able to be paralleled in Eretz Yisrael, then he's allowed and maybe has a chiyuv to stay in Chutz La'aretz. That's what Rav Shapiro says. So that's what he says in the footnote. But if you know the background situation, Rav Schechter asked that question to Rav Avram Shapiro about himself. And Rav Avram Shapiro asked him, how many Talmidim do you touch and how many times? And this was, you know, 50 years ago. And Rav Shapiro says, you have to stay. You ever hear Rav Schechter talk about Eretz Yisrael? He starts crying. He is the most connected. Talk about people who feel Eretz Yisrael outside of Eretz Yisrael. He's there for one reason, to teach Torah. He has children that live here, but it's based on this Maharam Shik. The Maharam Shik was asked by a Talmud. He was a Rav somewhere, and he wanted to make Aliyah. The Maharam Shik says, in what you're doing, you can't go. You shouldn't go. I just tell you personally, 15 years ago, 16 years ago, whatever, before we made Aliyah, I spoke to many different Rabbanim. Many different Rabbanim and on both sides of the ocean to ask about just my personal situation. And they were all, nobody gave a clear answer. Most of them. Interesting, surprising from both sides. But I remember one of my Rebbeim, who I value very much, I asked him over the years, he says, wait. When I told him, wait. Until there was, again, I didn't want to come. Everybody has their own shikulim. I felt that my tachlis, my tafkid was, you know, I have some friends that came. I'll do anything in Israel. I just want to bring up my kids here. That's fine. That's a value. But I wanted to be a Rebbe. I wanted to teach Torah. And if I wasn't going to be able to do that here, I didn't, you know, I to be a Rav. So once the possibilities came up to be a Rebbe and being a Rav of a community, so that's when this certain major posek rabbi gave me a bracha and said, Gesund Heit. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan for everyone. But again, these are all suggestions, but they're only for specific individuals who are Jewish communal leaders, and that's what they quote about the Lubavitcher Rebbe, even though the Lubavitcher Rebbe never said it himself. If the Lubavitcher Rebbe would have moved to Israel, you would have had thousands of shlichim that moved 770 to Kfar Chabad. No, he stayed because they say he's a leader and he can do more there where he was. But either way, these are a couple of explanations, which not all of them are, you know, in every generation and every year that we come, there's more and more. Now there's a majority of Jews basically living in Eretz Yisrael. And, the issues of, that were brought up by a number of the poskim, don't really apply. A major issue, just one second, just one more point, I'll take it first. Yeah, go.
What if, like, you said, like, you're a rabbi, but you have, like, influence in, like, the Jewish world in America?
I'm not just saying rabbis, right? I'm not saying, let's say somebody works in Washington, and they're very influential in, let's say somebody, I don't know, gives millions of dollars to Israel, and they wouldn't be able to, do that. I remember when we made Aliyah, my wife and I told each other, I will never judge anybody. That's not my job. We have one judge, right? Who yachid vein? It's not our job to judge. It's not our job to judge anywhere. I also tell Tamidim, whenever they go back, let's say they learn Hilchos Shabbat, they go back to their home, and all of a sudden they see their parents doing something in Hilchos Shabbat. I said, don't judge. It's not a child's job to tell parents what to do. It's not this sugya is when somebody is, making their own decisions and having thoughts in one's mind. But one has to recognize that there's only, again, there's a lot of, this is all the halachic background, but there's a lot of emotional and other hashkafic ideas to talk about. But we have to remember that every area, every land outside of the land of Israel is not the place we're supposed to be. It's not the natural state of the Jew. Right? Yechezkel HaNavi calls it a chil Hashem. These are those words. Every Jew that moves to Israel is a kiddush Hashem. Because we have to recognize that it's not natural. Just to quote one source, don't take the question home, one second. The Maharil Diskin in source 26. Again, many like to quote this. The Maharil Diskin quotes, there's a halacha in Parshat Mishpatim. Mishpatim says, we know that the after 6 years, if there's an Eved Ivri that wants to stay with his master, we do a whole ceremony of Ritzia, we pierce his ear, and he's able to say, he says, Ahafi es Adoni es Ishiv es Banai, I'm happy here. I want to stay here. I love my family. So, I'm the Gemara Kiddushin. Rashi quotes it. Why do we pierce his ear? Why dafka the ear? Remember, why do we pierce his ear? Why dafka the ear? Why not the nose? Why not the what? The ear that heard at Har Sinai, right? Don't. Well, it's Tupshat, two verses in the Gemara. Don't steal, and they went and stole, and that's why he had to become an Eved. So we pierce his ear. Or an Eved that hears that you're this ear that heard your avadaihem, but la avadim, he pierces his ear. So ask the Maharal Diskin. So it's a punishment for stealing. It's a punishment for becoming an Eved. So why are we only giving a punishment 6 years later? We should give a punishment right away. Right? Why are we piercing his ear 6 years later? Right away we should give the punishment. Why are we waiting 6 years? So the Maharal Diskin. He's also known as the Brisker Rav, but he's the less famous Brisker Rav. But the Maharal Diskin says in Source 26, really the Avdus itself was the punishment. That was the punishment. The problem now is after 6 years, he says, I love it here. I enjoy this. I'm good. He's obviously lost the message and doesn't realize that it's an Onesh. He doesn't realize that it's a punishment. So you have to patch him again. We have to recognize, and this is used by the Achronim, we have to recognize that Gullus is a punishment. There have been better Gullios throughout history and non-better Gullios. No Gullus in 2,000 years has ended well. Not one. And even though America has, as Ramosha calls it, the Medina Shel Chesed, America has been tremendous in terms of its religious freedom, and we have tremendous Hakaras HaTov to America. Tremendous Hakaras HaTov. We see the writing on the wall, Rahman al-Islan, over the past years. In my lifetime, there was never a time in America that you couldn't walk around with a yarmulke safely, feel fine. You know, and but we always knew in Europe, England, you can. All right, that's what I grew up. I know when we went, but any other country, forget it. But America, and now there are. I have Balabatan that are there that say, and you know better than me. Then in some places, wear a baseball hat. And it's a scary thing. Again, halavai, everybody should be good and well and safe. But we only have one homeland, and you know, we try to beat the Mashiach rush, and you know, and more and more. You know, it's again, every person has their own situation, and again, there's family situations, there are child situations, there's education situations, there are marriage. It's not everybody makes their own shikulim, but this is just just to bring to the fore. You know, we're not even getting into the uniqueness and the godless and the connection. I mean, somebody just sent me this morning that it's amazing. If you, and you could try it afterwards, but he sent me that what other country goes to war and tens of thousands of Israelis throughout the world want to come back and fight. It's mind-boggling. They said if you Google now flight to, you know, sometimes Google like goes to the most common thing, Israel comes up. Flight to Israel. That's what's been Googled the most in the past 3 days. It's unreal. Like how could I not be there? And there, you, I'm sure you saw this thing. I'm not sure. So this guy who went to JFK yesterday. An El Al member sent, I'll read it to you. This El Al member said, this guy wanted to remain anonymous, went to JFK yesterday. Let's see which one. I'm on this like Israel war chizuk tefila, like only positive things here. If I could find it, if not, I'll just say it outside. Oh, this is the, where is it? Okay. Okay, I don't know. But anyway, this guy said that the El Al employee said that there was a guy that came to the ticket counter, and there was a long line. El Al is giving priority to soldiers now to get back. He stood, and he says everybody who showed him that he got a Tzav Shmona, like a call back up, he paid for their ticket, $1,200, $1,300. He paid for 250 tickets. It's $300,000 on a credit card. Anonymous person. I mean, that, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just like the stories that are coming out. We fight evil with chesed and with achdus. And it's there's nothing right now that a Jew wouldn't do for a fellow Jew. And it's about the land of Israel. And, you know, maybe you saw the picture also. Somebody sent me a picture of the Degel Yisrael on the Arch of Titus. Saw that picture?
And also in Berlin,
right everywhere.
Used to hang from.
It's something's going on in the world. There's something's going on in the world, and we have to recognize that this is the place to be. This is the place to be. I was here in 1990. That was my Shana Aleph. I was here for the Gulf War. It was there were pressure. There were people talking about you know, people going back. But you stay. It shapes you for life. Recognize that the opportunity to be here for this situation, to be part of Achinu B'nai Yisrael, will shape you for the rest of your life, the experience. And there's stuff going on. There is a beautiful idea. It's said by many. I saw it a few weeks ago by Blumenzweig, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yerucham, is the Rosh Yeshiva Emeritus. But yesterday I heard, I was back in Beit Shemesh, so Rabbi D, you know, really, he lost his wife and two daughters. Okay, so he spoke in Reisha yesterday, so I went to hear him. So he said the same idea from the Rav Chaim Freelander, right, the Sifsei Chaim, same idea. It's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world on two levels. The personal level, this Schar Onesh, and, you know, what we do, and we know that's for sure true. We don't understand how these two levels work, but Schar Onesh. But there's a second level, what we might call, not Ashkacha Pratis, but Ashkacha Klalis. And that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing the world and bringing the world to an ultimate state. And sometimes there has to be, in Hashem's worldview, like a tinkering that like gets it back on kilter, gets it to a way that the ultimate ge'ul is going to happen. And that has to blend in. We don't know how. Tzadik v'ra'al l'rasha v'tov, we don't know. But like when these things happen, we believe, be'emunah shleima, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. And there are shlichim, Rachman al-Itzlan, of Midas Hadin. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. and we have to do everything we can, and we have to daven, and we have to daven for rachamim. But it's something's going on, and we don't know how, we don't know why, but we have to recognize it's a schus to be here. Recognize that it's a schus to be here. It's a schus to learn Torah here in Eretz Yisrael always, but especially at a time of Esar Yaakov. You know how many Jews would love to be here now? You know how many people would? Now, how many people are how many people, again, on their own will? I'm not saying there are some people whose parents are, and for many other yeshivas also, I'm not judging anybody, but I'm just saying, like, you know, how many people would love to be here? It's like during Corona. I remember Rabbi, there was a Zoom. What's his name? The Rosh Yeshiva of Tor Vadas, Rabbi Reisman. So Reisman, I heard on a Zoom of his, when the doors were closed, right, and you couldn't come into Eretz Yisrael because of the Corona. He says, I feel like something major is happening, and I'm on the wrong side of the door. That was his lashon, Rosh Yeshiva of Tor Vadas. Recognize what? Right. He said that. He's recognized we're on the right side of the door. It's challenging. It's painful. It's scary. It's anxiety building. I can tell you that personally. I haven't really slept well in a couple of days, but that's the little mesiras nefesh that I have to do. Imagining what my sons are going through, but we do what we have to do, and we go forward, and we're here. We continue with our lives. We take care of ourselves. I went for a run this morning, and we do that, and we continue, and we learn. And we learn, and if again, like I said, if it helps the learning, get names to learn for. Get names. They can't learn now, so I'm going to learn for them. Get names. Whatever it is, just get names. Just get connected. Do what you could do. Do what you could do, and if you get tired of learning, say some Tehillim. It's always a lot that we could do. But they know that Am Yisrael is behind them. There are a lot of Chizik videos if you want to watch some to be Mischazik. But Hashem Yazor, and. We have to recognize. Part of it is recognizing the opportunity that we have of being here to fulfill the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we'll stop here. My kids sometimes say when I